Okay, so what I wanted to do was just talk to you about things I like. So this is, this is my personal story of what I like. All right, so I love the thought of equanimity. I love the thought of being calm, aware, focused, in the very moment, and not reacting to everything that comes my way. I love the thought of that kind of peacefulness. I love even more the very few seconds, now and then, when I get close to that. I enjoy being peaceful. For me, it allows things to simply flow. And for me to be less constricted, it allows me to be able to see what's going on inside of myself, outside of myself, and be able to let things just pass through, accepting them when I'm at peace. That can happen. And I especially like sunsets. I love the glorious colors, the red, the orange, the pinks, the intense beauty. And I love it because it's always a teaching for me, because I want to hold it. I want to grasp it. I want to own it, possess it, and keep it forevermore. But it slips through my fingers. And at that moment, I understand in some little way that I can accept that I cannot grasp a sunset. I cannot hold it, keep it, have it be mine. That all things have beginnings. They have a middle, and they have an end. Over and over and over, the impermanence of all conditioned things. And I can accept that in a sunset, but not so easily in other things in life. I am grateful when I do not immediately react with anger or frustration, or react from my years of habitual responses. Every now and then, I can watch things come, feelings, emotions, notice them, let them go. It's worth the process. I am glad when I can respond to other people with kindness and with compassion. I believe in the possibility of wanting to relieve suffering, the suffering of all beings, without deciding who should be helped. I like to think of my life as a flowing act of giving, of generosity, whenever that's possible. And I believe in the possibility of bodhisattvas, and I'm deeply moved by the ideal and the vow they make. May I deliver all beings from difficulty. May I eradicate all pain. May I master all dharmas. May I lead all beings to Buddhahood. I'm inspired by the thought of the bodhicitta, the awakening of the heart, entering a stream that moves us to act with compassion. And that is what happens when true wisdom has arisen in a being. That perfect wisdom is compassion. They can't be separate. I'm happy when I hear the song of a bird, the trickle of a waterfall, and enter into the mindfulness of that moment without awareness of any other sound or any other experience. Staying in the moment with total awareness is happiness. I want to dwell in the moment. I want to be aware of the consequences of my behaviors, my speech, my thought. I want deeply to not cause harm, to really not cause harm. I like to read the Dharma. I like to hear the words of the Buddha. I like to imagine the Buddha walking in India, the dusty roads, barefoot, encountering beings of all sorts, sizes, shapes, and giving them words of wisdom and comfort. I also enjoy the songs, the poems of the Teris, the Buddhist nuns from the time of the Buddha. I feel a real connection with them. And really all of the disciples of the Buddha who have followed from him for the last 2,500 years, I feel a connection with those practitioners of the path. I like to know about their lives and their stories. I like to hear their words describing their experiences of awakening. They inspire me. They make me glad. I'm going to just read a little short poem from Mittakali that she wrote to describe her awakening. This was at the time of the Buddha. She was a nun. Although I left home for no home and wandered full of faith, I was still greedy for possessions and praise. Aren't we all? I lost my way, my passions used me, and I forgot the real point of my wandering life. Then, as I sat in my little cell, there was only terror. I thought, this is the wrong way. A fever of longing controls me. Life is short. Age and sickness gnaw away. I have no time for carelessness before this body breaks. And as I watch the elements of mind and body rise and fall away, I saw them as they really are. I stood up. My mind was completely free. The Buddha's teaching had been done. I also find a connection with the six perfections practiced by the Bodhisattvas. How could I turn away and not want to really develop generosity, an ethical life, patience, energy in pursuit of the good, meditation, and the development of wisdom? I want to do all those things. That is a full life that I can embrace, that I can want to be part of. I value freedom from narrow thinking, constrictive views, destructive emotions, selfishness, and a false sense of security and happiness that comes from things and places that will not give that to me. And so I have to let go of how I've always been. And that too appeals to me. Opening my heart to all beings, all rocks, all sunsets, cultivating receptivity is a path I can follow. Connecting from deep within and smiling from deep within is peace. I smile when I read the poems of Ryokan, a Japanese monk and poet, words that reveal the heart and mind of a very realized being. And I'm going to share one of his poems. There are easily 50 poems of Ryokan that I love to read, but I'm going to stick with one. Since I couldn't choose, I decided wherever I opened the book, that's what I'm reading. Here it goes. I sit quietly. Oh, I'm sorry, not that one. No, that one. The rain has stopped, the clouds have drifted away, and the weather is clear again. If your heart is pure, then all things in your world are pure. Abandon this fleeting world. Abandon yourself. Then the moon and flowers will guide you along the way. It's true. Sometimes I wonder what it must be like when the lamp goes out, which is how sometimes enlightenment is described. when the fires that fuel craving and clinging and aversion no longer have a fuel, what must that be like? I can imagine the calm, the release, the relief of the absence of unwholesome states of mind. It is said sometimes that the Buddha is trackless, like a bird in the sky. It is said that the knowing and understanding of the truth of how things really are, all compounded, things being impermanent, insubstantial, and not ultimately satisfying, if we really understand how things are, that will lead us to peace and purity and happiness. We have to give up thoughts about ourself, grasping for a self, and then one's life becomes simply like a flower blooming or a bird singing. It's a calm and radiant presence. I would like to be free from anger, from expectations, preferences, freedom from being pulled around by my emotions. I would like to be free from limiting, confusing, narrow, safe thoughts, perceptions, and views. I would like to experience freedom, harmony, peace, joy, unbounded compassion for all. And I would like awareness of the moment, this very moment. I am pulled by something deep inside, a desire to not cause harm, to help others, to live a life of peace and kindness and clarity. Do I want to be enlightened? I'm not sure. But I am sure that I would like to take this bundle of particles that we think of as dhyalochana, this self, and I would like to try to remember this about them, that should it arise in me, a mind that is calm and clear, should it arise in me, a heart that contains all beings, that heart-mind will not necessarily be located in this bundle of particles that we call self. And so thinking of giving up my idea of self becomes more attractive. Sangharakshita described enlightened beings in three ways, three characteristics. First of all, they have spiritual vision, free from delusion and knowledge of their mental conditioning. They have pure, clear, radiant awareness. Two, they have intense, overflowing love and compassion for all beings and a deep desire for all beings' welfare. And third, they have inexhaustible mental and spiritual energy that's spontaneous and creative, free from limitations. That is why I practice, why I'm on this path, and I hope you will travel with me.